everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Game Grooves Uncovered podcast. We've been having a crazy fun summer of video game music and all sorts of great events going on. But today I have another exciting pair of guests that I get to talk to. I'm speaking with a brand new duo called Axe and Ale, but you may know them as String Player Gamer, of course, and Firamiel from the video game music scene. Both of them come with a wonderful set of experiences, everything from String Player Gamer's video game cover music, composition, incredible violin playing, Undertale, Deltarune albums, live performances at MAGFest last year with another duo. And then we have Firamiel, who's had a fantastic set of videos, live performance at Video Games Together last year. Covers from Witcher 3, Horizon, Dragon Age, and of course, both of these have a great commonality in the love of fantasy, medieval music, and what we get to hear on Axe and Ale is a wonderful set of tavern and folk music. So without further ado, thank you so much for joining.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us, Ro.
Yeah, no, I've been excited to speak to both of you. I know, as I mentioned just before we started, Diwa was on the podcast 3 years ago with Gillette as our host. And I'm sure we were talking about some completely different, exciting projects then. And for you, Isabel, it's your first time. So welcome to the podcast. We're really excited to have you. And I'm going to start with a simple question. How did you get into making music for YouTube and video game music?
Okay, so I had wanted to do that for quite a while, since like I start my main instrument is violin, but it started to start like, I don't know, over 10 years ago, I don't know, more like 15 years, I don't know, it's been a long time.
Wow.
but when I started, I kind of didn't feel like very like securing sharing my playing for a long time. I felt like, oh, this is not good enough to share or anything. And then my first video that I did for YouTube was actually not from video game, but was from something that it's, I would say my main thing is like fantasy. And and then when I choose video games, it's usually video games that have a very fantasy element to it, which is common, luckily.
Yeah.
So my first cover was from the movie Pan's Labyrinth, which I love that movie. It's one of my favorite movies. And then it was in 2019. And from there, I did some other covers that were from anime, like from Attack on Titan, and other stuff like that. Then I did one with my friend, which was, I think, my first video game cover was with a friend that plays the guitar. And we did Opposite Bloodlines, which is the opening from the 64 version that I have not played, to be honest. He invited me and I have not played. And it's the opening from the game.
Oh, Castlevania 64.
Yes, Castlevania 64, which is one of the Castlevanias that I have not played. But it has violin on it, and I was like, okay, then let's do this. He liked the game, and I accepted. But yeah, then from there, I started, after a while, I think it was in, 2020, I started streaming on Twitch. And that's when I met Diwa, actually. We met in 2020. And then from there, I used to play a lot of video games a long time ago. Then I stopped for quite a while. And then with the pandemic, I started playing again. So then I started to play a lot of, especially like medieval games that I like.
Right.
For example, The Witcher or Dragon Age or...
Yeah.
I don't know anything. Or right now I'm playing Valheim just because it's like Viking survival.
And it's a very fun game.
Yeah, normally that's the type of game that have some kind of medieval Viking or something that I will choose. So then I started to cover music from games because I was playing a lot of games and really great music in this game. So I was like, oh, okay, so I want to cover this. And because of Diwa, I met a lot of people on Twitter that are from the VGM community. Like, for example, Cheeks, which is also amazing artist, or Tara, or you, or
it's really cool how that happens.
Yeah,
good that you obviously found a community that's so collaborative, because obviously there's a lot of bands now, there's a lot of people who are working together on different projects or even just single videos. And I have really, really enjoyed seeing what you and Diwa have put together. Covers like The Merchants of Novigrad and Fields of Ardskellig. And I only played Witcher 3. I haven't played any of the others, but I loved that game so much. And it was really cool because I hadn't heard the music in a long time. But then when I saw the videos, I was like, wow, this is really taking me back. When did you first kind of decide to collaborate, especially being two violinists? I know there's not a whole lot of you all in the community, but it's really cool that both of you are streaming actively as violinists and playing together.
Can I tell the story?
Of course.
Okay, so as Firamel already hinted earlier, 2020 is when things started to change because of something. We all know.
Sure, something.
And this was the time when a lot of us in our community, a lot of us, our mutual friends of Firamel and I that are now like a close-knit Twitch gang, we all converged around 2020. We would start, finding common ground with other streamers who also stream music, or violinist streamers. And for one lucky coincidence, we all converged as some sort of violin gang, like supporting other fellow violinist streamers, because there were a lot of violinist streamers coming in, especially in 2020. And like one chance random encounter, I saw Firamel, who still had a different username at that time. Used to go by, and I'm going to say it now, Firamel, Geek Violinist.
Okay.
Oh, I have seen that name around, though.
Yeah, that was her.
That was me.
And, me being like my networking self, you've met me in person in MAGFest, and you know how I can be so networky and friendly. So I did the networking thing, and Geek Violinist, you're a violinist who probably plays like the music, the same kind of music I do. Okay, I'm going to say hi, Geek Violinist, I'll follow you. And then she followed me. I attended one of her early streams, and then she attended one of my streams, and she became my mod. I became her moderator. And fast forward 2 years later, I visited Brazil, where Fira is from, and we did videos together, and we're now like one of the closest friends ever.
It's really cool that you actually got to go in person. A lot of people, they don't get to collaborate together and get to work on things together. You have to send a lot of messages back. And also, I've never been to Brazil. It looks like a humongous country to visit.
Beautiful country.
Really fun. One thing that I also really have to ask is, so with medieval music, and there's so many kinds, obviously, was growing up in Brazil, is that a popular kind of music or scene? Are there Renaissance fairs like they have in America? Or
I would say I am very lucky in this sense, because I don't know why, but in the city where I live, there were two medieval restaurants, which is, there are more in other places of Brazil right now, but before there weren't. So I think the first one that opened ever in Brazil was in my city. And other than that, the biggest folk / medieval bands that we have here in Brazil. It's from my region, and I am friends with them. And I have followed them since their first show, which was in 2008. I attended their first show, and then I always went to the medieval events that they do every year, which is kind of a Renaissance fair kind of event, but it's during the night.
Okay.
And,
wow.
And then I would say it's not something that I would say it's usual here, but I would say I was in a location where it's usual, maybe.
Okay. So that's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And it started the first ever like medieval event that they did here that I know of was on a metal bar I used to go to, because I think a lot of people who like metal like medieval stuff, for example, like Blind Guardian and this power metal bands, they really like Tolkien stuff and like this fantastic universe. So I think there is a link there. So it started on this kind of metal environment here, and then it's it went to a more like Renaissance fair thing. Yeah,
that's really cool. And even around in the US, like, we have Renaissance fairs, but musically I don't see as much of the like folk music and this medieval tribute as much. So obviously we go to the internet, and then all of a sudden we have people like yourselves who are able to play it. One thing I'm very curious also is that something you've learned by yourself, you know, just being interested in, you know, medieval kind of music, or is that something you feel like you'd studied, or?
It was more by myself, but for example, I follow a lot of like channels and stuff of folk music, and I had one teacher actually who was a violinist, and she has a band like of real actual medieval music. So that also helped me a lot. But I never had like live classes with her like in person, because she lives in Portugal. And what happens is this is a lot more popular in Europe than here, for example. So, for example, I have a group that I collaborate with sometimes. And they are mostly, for example, there's a girl that plays harp and she's from France. There's a guy that plays hurdy-gurdy and he's from Germany. The other one that plays bagpipes is also from Germany. So I'm kind of maybe dislocated.
Right.
I don't know. I think if I lived in Europe, I think it would be easier for me to have people to collaborate live with or something.
Sure. Well, luckily, you found someone who's in the U.S., which is easy
here. Yes. And that actually it came to Brazil, because a lot of people don't. I mean, I'm speaking from experience. I had a lot of friends from other countries, and they are kind of sometimes wary, like, of coming to Brazil, because there are a lot like of stories of being kind of dangerous country and stuff like that. So not everyone is like willing to come here. But I was like, oh, SPG, are you really coming? And I was kind of worried, because I don't know. I mean, but
it's actually really cool to see that, because South America, as I'm learning every day, has this very, very big music scene. And also in Chile and Argentina, we know a few VGM people throwing huge concerts all the time, from Pokiros and Theneken, and it's very fascinating. So if anything, more people should definitely be trying to go to South America to experience music.
I so as well. I think, I don't know, SPG can tell you how the
what was that like? What was that trip like?
Well, piggybacking on the story of feeling dislocated, I had that exact same feeling when I was still in the Philippines trying to make a name for VGM. And then I visited MAGFest in 2016 and thought, oh, this is my people. I should be here. Years later, I'm already living in America. So that's kind of like the same kind of origin story I had. But As for visiting Brazil, oh my God. When I was, you know, doing my research and with based on that stories Firamil would tell me about how dangerous Brazil can be, it's actually got me kind of nostalgic because, well, nostalgic is kind of saying it nicely.
Sure, sure.
But from everything that I gathered, the same so-called reputation that Brazil has for being like a dangerous country, that's exactly the same kind of reputation the Philippines has for being
sure.
so-called, oh yeah, it's a beautiful country, but also there's crime and all. And you know,
no, India is kind of in the same boat.
Yeah, and I was like, this city, I grew up in the capital city of the Philippines, which is Manila, and neighboring city, Quezon City, which is said to be the city in the Philippines with the highest crime rate. And wow. You know, that's kind of the same things that the stories are being told about the cities of Brazil. So I was like, oh, this is probably just going to be like a nostalgic visit for me. I'll probably feel like I'm in the Philippines. And lo and behold, when I landed right. in Brazil, not only is the temperature kind of like the Philippines, the environments, the lived-in feeling of being in the city, the streets, even the price yeah. of the food and all. Hey, this is just a Philippines with a different language.
With different language.
So it yeah. felt immediately familiar to me, to be honest. Wow. And I felt almost like just at home.
That's awesome. I think that's one of the nice things, having lived in multiple countries now for you. You know, you're more comfortable being able to visit other places. And I mean, to fly to a different country and get to make music videos and see people, and that's really great. And, you know, hopefully, I guess we'll try to get you up to the United States sometime, which also has a dangerous reputation. So,
you know,
so you'll
yep.
feel right at home.
Yeah.
Well, if you
yeah.
go to a city or a MAGFest or somewhere exciting where you can see a lot of people from the, music scene. Now, before I start talking about this very cool album, I have one last question, and it's more of a technical question, but you both have done a lot of collaborative streams, which are really cool, and I was watching some of the VODs. How did you do that without the delay? You know,
Yeah, you can go ahead and tell about our schemes, SPG.
Okay. There is a delay, and it's a terrible 400 to 500 ms delay. But the wow. thing is, we are coping with a software called Sonobus. I mean, there's like okay. there's a yeah. blanket type of software that they're selling to, so quote unquote, collaborate in less latency. There's like Sonobus, Jamulus, you know, those kinds of software.
Right. Okay.
Like
wow.
But no matter how lightweight that software is, if we're kilometers, thousands of kilometers apart, there's always going to be right. a delay. If we're just talking like this, just chatting, it doesn't really hold any issue because you're not right. trying to talk in sync, right?
Exactly.
But then we're going to have to collaborate. It means we're both going to have to be in sync, like zero
yeah,
delay. So what the creative workaround that we did is, yes, we use this software called Sonobus simply because it's the most lightweight and the simplest to set up. And then mm-hmm. what we do is one of depends on who's hosting the stream.
Right.
But one of us will be the conductor and the other will be the listener. So the listener will only hear me when I play the accompaniment of a guitar. So one of mm-hmm. us acts as the metronome performer. So I'm
right.
playing. I'm playing. And the other one will mute their audio. Only one of us will hear each other. and the one who is hearing will be the one playing along.
I see.
To the host.
Wow.
And well, then when we're done, when we've finished playing the song, we unmute and begin talking again when we don't have to be in sync. So something like that. Right. And another workaround, if it's a song where none of our parts can be a metronome, the host will instead play along to a backtrack, which has a very fixed BPM, but only they can hear the backtrack. And the stream will not, the other listener will not hear the backtrack. So at least there's some sort of fixed tempo that one of us is listening to. And, you know, it's crude, but it works.
Yeah.
And for the audience. And it sounds great for the audience. So that's it. That's the goal.
Yeah. And there's still the syncing of the audio and the video, which is another stuff that we have to fix also. Because, for example, usually when the stream is on my channel, I would have SPG streaming the sound and I would be pulling the image and sound from his stream on a dummy channel. And then I would have to like add a delay to my own video because of the delay of... So, there's a lot of stuff to fix.
Yep.
Wow.
And we've made
complex,
a list.
But you're doing something that I don't see a lot of people do where... Two people are collaborating, but over the internet. And I mean, I watched the VOD. I thought it was pretty good considering it's magical. And I knew that there must be some sort of crazy technical setup going
on. And we've done this maybe a dozen times, but still, since it's so complex, we have to do another test like a day before to kind of review everything. We've made like elaborate lists. And the only like, I would guess the minor setback for one of us is we cannot really listen to the entire music until the stream ends. And then we listen to the VOD. Oh, okay. We sound great. Okay, great.
Right. I imagine with reverb or something like, you know, some songs you can be a little delayed and can be more ambient and gentle. And other things, like you said, you have to have the backing track or it might sound weird. So hopefully, like with the instruments that you both play, I think it also works quite nicely that way. I want to spend some time talking about Axe and Ale now because that's the whole main thing. So how did you both decide, hey, we should make a duo band and an album? Like, how did that get started?
Viramel, tell the story.
Okay, I'm going to tell the story. So. We had been collaborating already on my channel, on Dua's channel. We did a lot of collaborations for Witcher music and Zelda and also Horizon Zero Dawn and other things. So we both play Lords of the Rings online. And
Yeah. Okay.
And we were playing one day. And I don't know, we were not like finding any quests that we both had at the same time. So I was like, okay, SPG, do you want to just, I don't know, walk around and see the new area that they added for Hobbits or something? I was like, okay, let's go there. And we were just like walking, okay. And then we entered a Hobbit tavern. Okay. And the music that was playing in that Hobbit tavern was like so cool. And I was like, okay, let's stay here for a bit. And we were like talking on the chat inside the game. And SPG was like, okay, let's just chill on the Hobbit Tavern. And then we were like, oh, this music's so nice. It's like, it's simple, but it's also so like nice to listen to. And it was looping almost the same song. It started to change it sometimes, but it was... mostly looping the same thing. And we were like, this is so simple, but so cool. I think we should do something like this. And then we were, why don't we do something like this? We could do something like this with the instruments that we play. And that was it. We were talking on a Hobbit tavern inside Lord of the Rings Online. Right.
Yeah, wow. The music was born in a tavern, pretty much.
That's perfect. And I mean, it's like a virtual tavern. And
yes.
The music's made by people who have obviously spent a lot of time with games, spent a lot of time virtually working together. How did Axe and Ale as a name come together?
Do you want to talk about this one, SPG, or?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
and which one of you is Axe and which one is Ale? Because I have my guesses.
I'm the Ale.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was thinking. Is that true?
That's what SPG said. Because he was like, oh, I think you are the Axe because your emotes on Twitch are more aggressive than mine. I'm like, what?
I mean, that is true. A lot of the SPG ones are really cute and really happy and...
For example, yeah, I'm going to show you.
Ones and...
Yeah, that emote. That's Firamiel's emote.
Yeah, I've seen these. They're like witch-like and
a witch version of her with a pickaxe. Look, someone like, oh, yeah.
Axe, fail. That was perfect. And I mean, you have another duo that has the Scarlet and Violet.
Yes,
you have Axe and Ale. So I'm waiting for you to come up with more and more of these clever duos. And
yes,
just fill,
more duos.
You're going to have like all of your time spent coming up with two really cool objects.
As for the word Axe and Ale, you know, we came up with we wanted an easy to pronounce band name. Mm. And, you know, I mean, that I think that's the goal for most name brands. You want a really easy to remember, really easy to pronounce. That yes. No one will have a problem of, how do you pronounce that? You know, so we did a keyword research pretty much. And every combination, like beers and bottles, you know, every other permutation that we could come up. And Axe and Ale was the one, oh, you know what? This sounds simple. And what I like about Axe and Ale, it immediately conveys an imagery of a tavern or a warrior. So it could be any type of tavern. It could be any type of warrior. And our project could pivot from medieval tavern to a little bit of pirate or a little bit of Viking. Mm. So it's such a versatile name that we can kind of move around with the subgenres. So we don't need to limit ourselves to just, oh, this is just Hobbit style forever. Nothing like that. We can, once we're like sick of using the medieval tavern of the Hobbit flavor, we can go to what about a dwarf tavern? What about an orc tavern? So.
Right. Ooh, that would be an interesting one for volume 2. It's just rowdy music.
Yeah, lots of metallic, metallophones or anything like that. Yeah, it's such a versatile name. And, you know, I love the imagery that it conveys. Mm. Yeah. And I think, you know, it has the added benefit of starting with letter A. So it's always first on the list of alphabetical.
That's pretty good. And it's tension, like an axe, and release, you know.
Yes.
Ale, drinking, fun, merriment.
Yes.
It's really cool that it worked that way. Now, I would have expected, and I actually really thought as I saw your collabs, I was like, these two are going to make an EP one day, I'm sure. I would have expected maybe like Witcher or something, but it's original music. When did you decide, and did you consider like cover music too, and then, you know, move to writing?
Firamiel?
We actually want to eventually release a Witcher album because we are like reaching the volume that we would lead there. I think we have 5 or how many Witcher collabs by now?
Yeah, something like that. I have 6.
So this was actually the first plan we had to release a Witcher album. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. We were like talking this day. And one thing that is really interesting about this project is that we both decided that we wanted to restrain ourselves. We wanted to do something simple, but that would get done. Because, for example, SPG and I, we chose the instruments, and it was just those instruments. For example, SPG, guitar Lele, and SPG playing guitar. And in my case, I was playing harp in one track only, and I was playing mostly chin whistle. So by choosing my main instrument as the whistle, I already restricted our choices of keys, because I was playing just with my C whistle and my D whistle, so I can play just C, D, and G major, and F major, and the relative minors of those. So we were already restricted in keys, and we restricted ourselves in instruments. And I think that made the project like a lot easier, because both of us, we play like other instruments, and we tend to sometimes get a bit overwhelmed, because we were like, oh, but why can't I add another instrument? I want to put an ocarina here. And then SPG is like, oh, but I think it needs more bass. And then, I don't know, sometimes we start to get like all over the place. And we were like, okay, no, this time we are going to do something very restricted. But in the end, I think it was easier to be more creative for something that was all original songs with these restrictions. I don't know. What do you think, SPG?
Yes. And, we were also trying to emulate, this series of series of lo-fi music called Stream Beats by Harris Heller.
Okay.
Oh, so it's a royalty-free lo-fi music that he is allowing streamers to use. And kind of wanted to emulate that concept, but for medieval tavern ambience music. And as Firamel already explained, we definitely rigidly restricted ourselves to like a limited collection of instruments to avoid option paralysis. And we wanted the function of the music to be simple enough that it can stand alone as a background music without, you know, interfering whatever is going on in the foreground, but still kind of creative enough for it to be enjoyable on its own as the music. So, and I personally was super interested or super intrigued by the concept of two really tiny instruments, like the guitar Lele, like four times smaller than the guitar, and the tin whistle is like super lightweight, you can put it in your pocket. I was super intrigued and super fascinated by the concept of two simple sounding instruments with limited capabilities and make something that is melodically beautiful, but also at the same time danceable. I mean, how could you make just two instruments playing almost unison lines? How can you make that like danceable? So we just added simple clapping in the background, and it turned out, oh wow, this immediately changes things. And immediately images in our head, oh yeah, this is like Bilbo dancing in his birthday or something like that. And that was like the fascination with the musical technicality. And of course, one more story. One of our friends who's also watches our streams kind of explained to us a really great historical context with our choice of instruments. And he explained to us that, hey, did you know that during the medieval and Baroque times, most of the musicians are travelers and they would only travel by foot or by horse. So there was no contrabasses or big instruments, no tuba size or tuba weight instruments. They only can carry small flutes, small fiddles, and small lutes, because that's the only choice they had. And that is why your approach sounds very authentic, because of that historical context. Oh, and we realized, what? We did that? Okay, now we agree, yes.
That's really cool. And I mean, it's nice that it was a happy accident, but I think you made this very sensible rule, especially for your first collaboration. Like, let's make sure this happens. So no going overboard. Mm. And to your point, you know, back in the medieval ages, they couldn't carry things. And then in 20th century, you have jazz and small rock bands and trios forming because the Great Depression in America, of course. So, you know, instruments and big bands weren't affordable anymore. And a new kind of music style happened. And even today, like, you listen to the Beach Boys, the Ventures, 1950s, there's only like one guitar, one drum, one bass. You really are representing a very similar instrumentation by doing that, which is really cool. And a lot of the music, like, I had it on while I was prepping for this, and I was like, this is so relaxing. And I bet that was the goal. They wanted this to just be the album that you just can't stop listening to because it's perfect to have on. Was it difficult to work on originals having done more covers, or how did you share kind of the songwriting? Because there was, you know, instead of doing a cover, you have to come up with all the melodies.
Okay, I will start. We actually, like, chose, for example, when I was writing some of the melodies, I chose 2 to 3 inspirations from VGM. For example, track number 7, that was actually inspired by Enchanter and Enchanter from Dragon Age, Priscilla's song from Witcher 3, and one other title that I forgot. But
there's Picking Up Berries. I thought I heard Wind Waker in that one.
Yes.
Yeah, I knew it.
So because our background is pretty much VGM, fantasy, Lord of the Rings. For example, writing track number 7, I just, you know, envisioned in my head the vibe of these 3 song inspirations, change up the chords, but maintain the tempo, and kind of based the like 3 notes from the main melody and then bent it to go this way instead of that way. So it's almost like when we arrange covers, you know, we try to change things up in the middle section so it will add our own flair. But instead, the approach was just always that own personal touch without venturing into the cover territory, something like that. So it's pretty much kind of like a related, adjacent approach, but changing it well enough to be its own thing.
It's neat because a lot of people, I mean, you're inspired by obviously fantasy and medieval, but, you know, the video game music is a part of you. And it's cool that, you know, if you didn't tell someone that those were your inspirations, I don't think they would necessarily know. But yeah, it's great that it worked out that way. And so this is one area I definitely don't know much about, but is there like a sort of music that you listen to for inspiration from medieval music? And, you know, where does it come from in Europe? Because, you know, I'm not too familiar if it's all from England, Ireland, or France. Or
okay. So one of my favorite bands is called Faun, and they are from Germany. And I think it's the bands I actually listen mostly to. So that would be something that if people want to get into this style, I would recommend Faun. And another band is actually Percival, because Percival is the band that made the soundtrack of The Witcher 3. They are a folk band. And that's the reason why The Witcher 3 soundtrack sounds so authentic for this style, because this band has been playing this style for, I don't know, a really long time. And it's original songs by then. Of course, they collaborated with Marcin, which is also one of the main composers of the soundtrack of The Witcher 3. But I think having Percival Schuttenbach work with Marcin really brought this to another level of authenticity for this folk style. So these two bands, Percival is from Poland. So,
okay, wow.
And found from Germany. Right. I also listen to a lot of folk metal, which is like the style that we did on our collaborations on String Player Gamer's channel. That was more folk metal. So for that, I really like Elveti. They are from Switzerland, I think, but they are members from other countries as well. And yeah, so I think it's mainly from these countries, I would say. But I also listen to a lot of Irish music, like traditional Irish music. This is more new age, I would say, but I really like Enya, for example. She has a lot of influence of Celtic music because she played on a Celtic music band with her family before doing her solo project. So,
And of course, Enya also sang on the Lord of the Rings soundtrack.
Yes.
Everything is connected.
Yep.
Oh, that's really cool. It's definitely something that I feel you're helping introduce to our community, where, you know, the popular music, at least from my experience, has been video game music inspired by classical and symphonic, of course, a lot of rock music and even jazz, but we don't necessarily talk a lot about all the different European folk music style. And the album that you've made has quite a few, like, hobbits dancing at the tavern. You have references to Lord of the Rings, of course, all over the place. What is it about Lord of the Rings that inspires so much music? You know, for the last 50, 60 years, I know Led Zeppelin, of course, wrote about Lord of the Rings. And what is it, do you think?
I think it's so hard to say what it is, but for example, I find, of course, the books and the movies very inspirational, but also the music from the movies. I love the work from Howard Shore, so that was a big inspiration. And of course, the music also from Lords of the Rings Online, which we both play. So I would say it's everything is the world, but it's also the derived work from it. So it's not only Lords of the Rings itself, but also the things people have created based on Lords of the Rings. So it becomes kind of this universe of inspirations. Right. Yes.
And yes. Lord of the Rings Online soundtrack featuring our friend Tara. Shout out.
That's right.
Yes, that's exciting. Amazing.
And also, and to add to that, I think the Lord of the Rings, from the books to all the lore surrounding it to the language, the elven language that J.R.R. Tolkien created, the lessons, the stories are all very timeless lessons that are applicable to, you know, the battle between good and evil, the choice of being a good person versus being an evil person. These are all timeless lessons, and the fact that it was presented in a fantasy world with so many timeless imageries of pretty much Tolkien set the fantasy genre almost like single-handedly. This phenomenon alone evokes so much creative inspiration from any type of genre, any type of person, or any type of artist. Lord of the Rings fan art will never cease to happen. It will always be there. Someone is always going to create a fan art of Frodo for Bilbo and Gandalf. Even the movie has so much quotable quotes. Everyone quotes a Lord of the Rings quote for any situation in life. There's always a quote that will fit this moment. It's just so timeless. It's so evergreen that I think it will forever inspire people, no matter what year, no matter the century. And I think that's the endless source of inspiration that always fuels creativity in a lot of people.
I agree. Did you?
It's funny because I loved reading and watching Lord of the Rings myself, and the first video I made for YouTube that was like a cover kind of thing was actually like a really, really old and very bad Lord of the Rings medley, because I started with movies, not video games, but that was the one I wanted to do most. One of my best friends, Duncan, is a very big fan of Lord of the Rings and the books. He showed me Battle for Middle Earth. That was the first Lord of the Rings game I played. So it's wonderful seeing how many different ways people can still pull from the worlds. As a fun question, if you could live anywhere in Middle Earth, where would you live, both of you?
Definitely in the Shire.
The Shire, for sure. I agree. It's like more chill and so beautiful. I don't know. The lifestyle.
It's interesting. I would pick Gondor, but only after yes. Aragorn taking over. Because there's big walls, I would feel safer than the Shire. But the Shire is way more fun.
Yes.
And I mean, I really love this quote by Bilbo. About the Shire and kind of what my ultimate goal in life is. What is that quote? It is no bad thing to want a simple life. That's it. I just want a simple life where I play games, I write music, have fun, and have bonding time with my daughter, and that's it.
It's beautiful.
No complex issues, nothing like that.
I think that's what makes, Bilbo such a good character, too. Even from the movie, sometimes you might think that he's just there to kind of start the journey or, in the Hobbit, he's kind of just accidentally going on adventures constantly. But I think, as you put it, the timeless message of enjoying adventure and friends was important to him. And, I think all in all, that's all we're trying to do. And it's really cool that, again, you made an album that's about that spirit. Having ambient music isn't just something you put on and forget. It's something that you appreciate because it puts you in that right mindset, which is really lovely. Now, I know you did a Volume 1 and you called it Volume 1. So I have to ask, you plan on making more and... Since you mentioned it earlier, would you consider Axe and Ale doing folk metal or dungeon synth, as you've put it, these other kind of styles that pull folk music in, if you can talk about it?
Yes, we can. We actually plan to release other volumes. I don't know yet if the next album will already be another Hobbit one or if we are going to already... Because SPG already told this, so I can tell. But we do plan on doing like taverns from other race, for example, Dwarven Tavern. Or we are very intrigued about Orc Tavern. Like, I don't know.
That sounds fun.
I think this one will take longer because we have to really think how this can sound different and orcish. So I think this one will take longer. For example, for dwarves, I would think about lower sounding instruments, maybe a more dronic sound.
And interesting.
Perhaps I will not use the tin whistle for the dwarven one. If I had a bagpipe, I would want to use a bagpipe for this.
Interesting.
But I don't have it, so I'll have to choose another instrument.
Yeah, I don't know almost anyone who plays bagpipes. Maybe Kristen Nagus, Field of Reeds, but
no,
I'm not
sure. No, she plays
sure.
everything, though.
That's true. She plays everything. She doesn't play guitar. I'm going to make sure that... or else I'm out of a job, but... Yeah, that would be very interesting. When I think of orcs, I can think of like even brass instruments. I can think of like hard percussion or something.
Yeah.
I'm sure you'll have some great ideas.
Yes. And percussion will have to be like the very main thing, I would think. I think orcs need a lot of percussion and metallic sound, SPG said. Mm. But I think the Orc Tavern will take longer. But about your question regarding like having albums more in the folk metal or dungeon synth styles, I see this as possible. I think SPG too, because this is why we said that we think this the style of our duo and also the name that we chose is very, very broad. Like It opens a lot of possibilities. Do you want to comment on that, SPG?
Yes. I think the initial talk that we had is when we're going to start a new album or the next volume, we first would discuss, okay, what instruments are we going to use? Mm-hmm. And then once we decide, we stick to that combination until the very end. Probably we'll make even, you know, maybe 9 more of this exact instrumentation, the same as volume mm-hmm. 1, because we still have so many melodies that we've been collecting. I mean, Firamel has been randomly recording flute melodies that she composes and just shelving them, and the same for me, right. You know. And then when it's time to final record something, and you know, okay, we'll unshelve all these collected melodies. Okay, what can I do with this? What can I do? What instrument works with this? And there is a possibility that we might just exhaust the volume 1 combination until, you know, okay, we're ready to move on to the next. Okay, maybe we can try Orc Tavern. Right. And going back to the Orc Tavern discussion, you know, there's so many other fantasy music resources that we can also lean to. I mean, we were only talking about Lord of the Rings orcs, but then there is also World of Warcraft orcs,
right,
that have their own signature sound. Even the trolls have their own sound in World of Warcraft. They usually play with marimba and all that. It's like this. What other fantasy music inspirations can we pull from aside from, right, Lord of the Rings? There's Dragon Age Inquisition, there's Witcher, there's World of Warcraft, and so many other sources of inspirations to pull from. And then from that, we like use our own instruments, play it, record it live. And I think that is the like main thing that we want to be doing. We always want the live instruments to be the most prominent, because I think that's what will differentiate us from other great albums but they mostly rely on VSTs and huge sounding bombastic orchestras. I think there's already a lot of those out there, and we want to be like the complete polar opposite. Small, simple, but you know, full of charm and full of heart.
I like it. And to your point, you mentioned all these different races from, you know, popular fantasy writings. Now, one thing that I think it was in Merchants of Novigrad especially, where you also used, and correct my pronunciation, the Hegelong from the Philippines. So a lot of this fantasy and medieval music and stories build on European kind of folklore. Would you ever think about how Asian instrumentation or Filipino especially like would work into that? Or are there any kind of fantasy sources outside of Europe that have come to mind?
Yes, I think that's also a possibility in the future. For example, the main reason why I use the Hegelong, because it sounds almost as close to the metal string lute, the metal string dronic lute, or like the saz or the oud that are used in European folk music. Oh my God, this can be where the crossovers happen. So, you know, like I said, Axe and Ale, maybe there's a tavern. I'm pretty sure there's a tavern somewhere from any time period. People always, you know, converge at a tavern, whatever culture, whatever time period, there's always a tavern for something.
Right. That's awesome. And I think that's one of the most exciting parts about how this project is working out. It's something that not a lot of people have been able to do with being inspired by video games. Now you can really just make the music to a game without having to make the game.
Yes.
This is very exciting. And of course, everyone can check out Tavern Melodies, Volume 1, which is on Bandcamp, which is exciting, as well as it's on streaming, right? So
yes,
we have Spotify, Apple Music, all your favorites. Well, I am really, really happy that we got to chat about this exciting album, and also just both of you and how you've been able to collaborate in such a unique part of the, you know, music and video game and fantasy music scene. It's been really exciting. Where can everyone find you and Axenale?
Firamil?
Well, you can find me in a lot of different places. But for example, I am usually either Firamiel or firamiel.music. But for example, Twitter, it's Firamiel. I also stream on Twitch, Firamiel as well. And I think just TikTok, that is firamiel.music. And on YouTube, I'm also Firamiel. Spotify, also Firamiel. I think if you type Firamiel, you'll find me pretty much everywhere.
And as for me, String Player Gamer, very easy to find. I'm in all platforms. So whatever platform it is, your preferred platform to consume, either streaming or live streaming, I stream on both Twitch and Kick. I also release YouTube videos every single week, sometimes more than once a week. And as for Axe and Ale, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and of course YouTube. Just look for Axe and Ale Music or Axe Ale Music, and you'll find a very nice logo of an axe and a tankard of ale.
That's perfect. And honestly, it's a lovely, lovely project. It's a nice album. You can put it on a gentle drive. I want to see people playing Dungeons and Dragons put this one on. I think that would be another wonderful use for it. But nonetheless, I look forward to listening to it more, Volume 2. And of course, I'll follow both of you through your next exciting music adventures. But thank you for joining our Game Grooves podcast.
Thank you for having us. This is so much fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for having us.
All right, take care, everybody.